You're invited to travel the world and discover what it means to live the intercontinental life. With more than 200 properties worldwide, Intercontinental Hotels and Resorts welcomes you to iconic properties in global destinations including New York, London, and Shanghai. Discover more about these cities and the tales they inspire with Stories of the Intercontinental Life, a collection of stories that will excite your curiosity and offer new perspectives on the world. Hear more at intercontinental.com/life.
This is Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. So the good news is that smart cities are coming. The bad news, hackers won't be very far behind. That's according to the Journal's James Rundle. He joins us with a glimpse into the future as cities across the globe continue to use technology. That's after these tech headlines. Google and Facebook say they are changing the way they rank news stories in a concession to bigger news publishers. Google said the changes will better promote original content. The move addresses publishers' complaints that their scoops were often overshadowed by quick rewrites by other outlets. Facebook, for its part, is negotiating with media outlets to pay them for the rights to publish their stories in a special news feed. They say they will use real people, not an algorithm, to determine which stories to feature, as the Wall Street Journal previously reported. In other Facebook news, the company is jumping on the streaming bandwagon like everyone else's. One of their three new Portal devices, Portal TV, has television chat and allows users to stream content from Facebook, Amazon Prime, Spotify, and a few other services, but not Netflix and Disney Plus just yet. In addition to Facebook Messenger, the second-generation devices can make video calls using WhatsApp. The original Portal devices, released last October, faced intense scrutiny because of Facebook's privacy missteps. However, during demos of the new devices, Facebook emphasized that users could opt out of sending any data to the company. Activision Blizzard says a free mobile Call of Duty game, the one it made with China's Tencent, is launching in October. You can expect the kind of battle royale style of play made popular last year by the blockbuster hit Fortnite. Steven's analyst Jeff Cohen tells the Journal that gamers should use caution when comparing the two, however, noting a big draw for Fortnite has been the ability for people using different devices to play together. Activision Blizzard did not mention anything about such an option for Call of Duty Mobile. If you recall, this won't be the company's first mobile Call of Duty game, and while prior ones weren't big hits, Mr. Cohen has forecasted a revenue of around $100 million for next year. Coming up, what new smart cities mean for old concerns about cyber attacks.
You're invited to travel the world and discover what it means to live the intercontinental life. With more than 200 properties worldwide, Intercontinental Hotels and Resorts welcomes you to iconic properties in global destinations including New York, London, and Shanghai. Discover more about these cities and the tales they inspire with Stories of the Intercontinental Life, a collection of stories that will excite your curiosity and offer new perspectives on the world. Hear more at intercontinental.com/life.
The attacks on Saudi Arabia's oil infrastructure over the weekend using drones has gotten cybersecurity experts worried about the potential for similar attacks on critical infrastructure right here in the U.S. Researchers at the University of North Dakota are currently researching something called drone swarm technology that allows packs of drones to make decisions on their own. The tech could be able to detect rogue planes or drones heading for power grids or oil facilities and then head them off. But attacks from drones aren't the biggest thing researchers are concerned about when it comes to protecting infrastructure. Smart technology is being implemented more and more across the U.S., and while it's helping them grow and thrive, it could also put them at risk. Here to talk more about them is The Wall Street Journal's James Rundle, joining us in the podcast studio. Welcome.
Thank you.
So this all feels pretty futuristic to a certain extent, but that's actually not the case. Smart cities are very much here already. There's a lot going on. So if you wouldn't mind talking to me first about the existing tech already fully at play in these smart cities you write about.
Sure. So most major cities are using some form of sensors to collect data at the moment. There are various projects that are in train that are maybe a bit more futuristic. So in Las Vegas, for instance, they're piloting autonomous vehicles. Other cities are looking at how 5G is going to influence that. So the connectivity is going to allow a lot more devices, a lot more technology, and as my article says, a lot more risk as well.
Right. And that brings us to the main point. The more connected a city is, the more vulnerable it is to cyber attacks. How have hackers in recent years taken advantage of this?
So this is the interesting part, I think. In recent years, we've seen a lot of ransomware attacks against Baltimore, Atlanta, some Floridian cities, recently school districts in Texas as well. But those have mostly been random. Normally attacks of opportunity that have garnered money for the criminals in question. As we enter into an era where technologies are deliberately connected, they become a lot more susceptible to more advanced, determined attacks that could possibly stretch into cyber warfare and other regions as well.
Right, and the scale of these attacks can prove to be quite substantial. What are some examples of some of the more recent hits cities have taken?
Recently, you've seen some of the potential impacts in Florida, in Riviera Beach and Lake City. One of the attacks actually took down the 911 system for a period of time, which obviously has tremendous impact. And then you've also seen maybe more minor, but potentially larger in the grand scheme of things, attacks where you've had payroll taken offline, various other public services as well.
This concept of data alone has us all very concerned, as you know. I can't imagine cybersecurity experts, as far as general concern goes, I can't imagine that this isn't at the top of the list.
And you're seeing this play out right now in tremendous concerns about what's being collected, how it's going to be used. Some cities are approaching this by trying to redefine their relationship as it pertains to data with the residents. So if you look at Portland and Oregon, for instance, they hold regular meetings about this. Kansas City actually drew up a data bill of rights that will address how they use the data and everything else. So there are efforts underway, but it's a major concern. Bigger cities have more resources, obviously. New York has a dedicated cyber command. Las Vegas is working with premium companies to protect their networks. But when you get to the smaller cities, the money just isn't there. And a lot of times these projects are being tagged onto other projects for budget reasons. And so cybersecurity isn't really a concern for them.
So it was interesting to learn, you highlight this in your piece. Would you mind breaking down how easily one of these attacks can happen?
Sure. I mean, it depends on what kind of attack you're talking about. But the example I used in my piece was that anybody could download the software for a sensor off the internet, for instance. They wouldn't even have to have physical access to send erroneous data about, say, a bridge malfunction or radiation alarm in extreme circumstances, divert emergency services there. That data obviously goes through the sensor to the city's main servers. So if they're trying to launch any virus, anything, that's a way in for them potentially as well. That's the problem with everything being connected in a giant network. You know, you have one point of breach and then suddenly the entire network's exposed.
So we're talking about the concern here, and there certainly is concern, but there's also a reason that cities are doing this. The push to move into the space is obviously not going to go away.
Sure. I mean, it comes down to the basic point that you can't stop technology. Residents are requiring better services, more efficient ones. And also, cities have to deal with this from a data point of view. The UN, for instance, projects that around 2/3 of the world's population is going to live in urban areas by 2050. So cities have to have data in order to plan public works, to plan emergency reactions, everything else. So they're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place.
I guess it's important to remember to be as diligent as you can with regards to your data and privacy and what you're putting out there in the world and in these cities. James Rundle, thanks very much.
Thank you.
And that is Tech News Briefing from the newsroom in New York. I'm Tanya Bustos. Thanks for listening.